three Americans who were detained in North Korea are on their way home on Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's plane, a gesture of goodwill, perhaps, by North Korea ahead of that potential meeting between Kim Jong-un and President Trump. President Trump says he's going to announce the date and place for that meeting in the next few days.
And also today, Trump warned that Iran would face very severe consequences if it attempted to restart its nuclear weapons program, this a day after the president withdrew the U.S. from the deal that was meant to stop that possibility. An announcement that overshadowed news on the domestic front about primary results. And the Iran news was soon overtaken by revelations that the president's one-time personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, took $500,000 from a company controlled by a Russian billionaire in the run-up to the election. So let's bring in our political strategist. There's lots to chew on today. Joining us this week, Democratic strategist Jamal Simmons. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, Robin.
And the Republican strategist, Alice Stewart. Hi, Alice.
Hi, good afternoon, Robin.
And let's start with Michael Cohen. I'm just going to do a thumbnail here. Financial documents show the same shell company that Cohen used to pay the hush money to porn star Stormy Daniels also took in about $4.4 million from corporations like AT&T and from this investment company controlled by a Russian oligarch with ties to the Kremlin who's been questioned in the FBI's Russia investigation. Now, Stormy Daniels' attorney is asking maybe the Russian actually paid off the porn star. But, you know, this is complicated. It may not have anything to do with the president. It just doesn't. It looks terrible. Alice, how would you advise Republicans to talk about this?
Robin, you're right. The optics of this are terrible, and it looks bad. And I respect Michael Avenatti. He's done a lot of good and unleashing a lot of information. However, I think it's a little premature to speculate that to jump to the conclusion that this means the Russians paid off Stormy Daniels. Michael Cohen, in my view, was someone who wanted a job in the White House, didn't get a job in the White House, and so now he's sitting on the outside saying, what can I do to make money? And he's going around to these different groups, obviously, including a Russian-backed group, and taking money for, quote, consulting fees. And in my view, based on what all I've read and seen and spoke with Avenatti a little bit last night up in New York, he's doing a lot of deals himself to make money for himself. I don't see right now, in my view, a connection directly to President Trump. In my view, this is Michael Cohen trying to make some money for Michael Cohen.
Well, Jamal, let's listen to Michael Avenatti. It's not that hard to find a clip of him these days because he's on just about every show. But here he is. He's saying Cohen and President Trump need to clear up what the money in this shell company was for.
The president ran on this campaign of draining the swamp, that lobbyists were not going to be involved, special interests were not going to be involved, etc. Now you have the right hand of the president, right hand of Mr. Trump, in January of 2017, all of a sudden starts taking all of this money from all of these multinational corporations for God knows what. And the American people deserve to know what it was for.
That was from Good Morning America. Jamal, where do you see this leading?
This is not the first time in American history that a colleague of the president has hung out a shingle and become a consultant, right? So I'm not as freaked out about the money coming into the Michael Cohen firm. What I am freaked out about, or it could be, is where did the money go once it came in? So either Michael Cohen was making money hand over fist, and he had a really good year last year, and this is America, so God bless, or that money came in and maybe it went to Donald Trump or it went to the Trump organization or someone else, or it went to Stormy Daniels. And that's the place where investigators ought to keep their focus and figure out where did all the money go? Let's follow it like the Watergate scandal.
Well, Allison, it sounds like your advice would be, if I may, throw Michael Cohen under the bus. You know, just a guy who was off trying to make money. But don't Republicans have a problem here? Because you have Rudy Giuliani and the president both saying they paid Michael Cohen back. Now, we're hearing this money came from this shell company with all this fungible money in it from Russians and AT&T, which was looking to make a merger deal. Who's telling the truth?
I think that will be up to the investigators to determine. In my view, my recommendation to all Republicans on this instance, in this situation, keep your mouth shut and let the facts lead where they may. Robert Mueller has brought in one of the Russian oligarchs for questioning already. He will determine where the facts are in that case. And as we all know, Michael Cohen has had his office and his hotel raided by the feds in New York, and they will lead the facts where they go in that case. I think we should just sit back, let the facts play out. And if the president did nothing wrong, if Michael Cohen did nothing wrong, then they have nothing to hide, and let the investigation continue. In the meantime, let's focus on the Iran deal. Let's focus on the economy. Let's focus on midterms, and let that stay with the investigation.
Well, here's what's fascinating to me. I wonder if Mueller found this while he was tracking the Russians, and he stumbled upon Michael Cohen's little business and figured out that there's some kind of money laundering going on, which smells a lot like what happens in American cities. And there have been mayors all over the country who've gone down for this kind of pay my best friend, and then you'll get a meeting with the mayor and maybe a contract. That's the oldest scam in the book in politics. So let's see where it goes.
Well, and it's interesting when you read about, you know, each of these revelations, you find out that Mueller actually talked to these people months ago. So he knows a lot more clearly than we do, or than anyone does this at this point. Let's talk about the Iran deal. Major foreign policy change. Jamal, you tweeted that you think the Trump administration withdrew from the deal in dramatic fashion yesterday to change the subject away from the Russia investigation. Really?
Yes, I think that as the Russia investigation hones in closer to Donald Trump, he will do more deranged things to try to wiggle his way out of that kind of news coverage. You know, it's interesting that as this got closer, he fired all the people who were reasonably smart and perhaps a little bit more rational around him, who thought this was a good idea, and replaced them with some pretty hardliners over in his national security team. So I am just worried. And as someone who, you know, I started my career working for a guy named Mickey Cantor, who was one of the country's best trade negotiators. And we always learn from Mickey that every agreement sort of builds on itself and we build trust. And what's nerve-wracking now is that the president, Trump, is pulling us out of all of these agreements and is probably eroding trust in America from some of our allies and even some of our opponents who we have to do these deals with. So I'm nervous for me. I'm nervous for my kid. I'm nervous for America if this president is left to his own devices during this troubled time.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, I'm going to ask Alice the same thing. What do you tell Democrats to do in this moment? Because this is the, you know, President Trump's base is loving this. This is a part of the axis of evil. Never mind that just about every analyst and inspector says the deal is working right now to keep Iran from creating a nuclear weapon, and there's no plan B. Politically, you know, people are loving this, but should Democrats stand up? And they don't really know where this is going.
Well, the problem with that is that they can stand up and wave their arms and light their hair on fire, but it's not going to stop what the president's doing here. And to Jamal's point about trying to pivot from the Russia investigation, believe me, I would be the first one to advise this administration to pivot from that. However, with regard to the Iran deal, he has been talking about this since he ran for office, when he took office, and since he has been in office. He has always said that the Iran deal is one of the worst and one-sided transactions in history, and that it's important that we reimpose the sanctions against Iran for the safety of not just our country, but our allies across the world. And this is something that he has planned to do for quite some time. And
but he had a year to do this. Why didn't he do it last year? Why is he doing it now?
Well, that's a great question. However, look, we've had every few days, every week or so, we've had this is the Russian scandal that's going to seal the deal for him. Every day or every few days, there's a new scandal that we think is going to be the tip of the iceberg or the straw that broke Trump's back. However, in his view, this is the right time. Obviously, he's been talking with Israel and sharing information and intel. And I have to trust that between he and Pompeo and Mattis, they have talked to the experts on all sides of this and realized that the time is now in order for us to execute what he's been promising for quite some time.
Let's just, for the last 2 minutes that we have here, talk about the primaries from yesterday. In West Virginia, Don Blankenship, the Republican that President Trump wanted to lose, did. But the first House incumbent of 2018 went down to defeat in North Carolina because he was insufficiently Trumpian. Jamal, your thoughts on what happened yesterday?
Donald Trump may have saved the Republican Party from a great embarrassment in West Virginia, sort of a Alabama-style character to have to carry for Democrats to run against all over the country. But what we learned in North Carolina is that you still have to appeal to this Donald Trump base in order to get elected in the Republican Party. And I think that's going to be more hurtful in the fall as more voters who are not Trump supporters come out to the polls. And, you know, the people who we've been showing up at all these rallies every weekend whenever something happens, I'm just, if I was a Republican, I would feel caught in a vice. I can't get away from the president in the primary, and I can't embrace him in a general.
I have to ask one, I'm sorry, but I have to jump in and ask one question, if you don't mind, because we have a Democrat who said something, which is so rare. At a Politico event yesterday, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi was asked to respond to a Republican ad that claims she wants to institute single-payer health care, roll back the GOP tax cut. She said, well, the second part is accurate, roll back the tax cuts. And then she said, I think we should do this in a bipartisan, transparent way. Republicans pounced, Alice. Nancy Pelosi wants to roll back, you know, the tax cut, raise taxes. Is Nancy Pelosi still going to be the thing that resonates, you know, the drumbeat against her? Is that what you'd advise?
That seems to be what has worked in some of these congressional races. In the Senate races, that remains to be seen. But in a lot of the congressional races, the anti-Nancy Pelosi seems to be working. And the tax cuts are working. People are seeing more money in their paychecks, and they're seeing the tax cuts work for them. So if she wants to take that away from people, that's not a very good winning message for her or the Democrats to go on as we head into the midterms.
That's Alice Stewart, a Republican strategist, and Jamal Simmons, a Democratic strategist. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for
having me.